talk about trees. I like trees. I'm sure you do too, especially if you heat with wood. You like trees. Or if you want to do any building, you like trees. Something about trees that make those things possible most of the time. Planted some trees. Some trees that I don't want anything to do with. I just soon get rid of all of them. My brother sent me a picture of the buck damage. The bucks have been coming into his yard rubbing on his trees, but they're water maples, so I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for his trees. If they were hard maples, I'd be a little more sad with him, but some reason he likes those water maples that grow real fast and dump a whole lot of branches all over the place when they do grow up. Trees. There was a tree in the Garden of Eden that stands out. There's two of them that stand out, but one of them is really extra special. You can find it in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. Water maples must be part of the curse. And good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want to look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the one that has brought about some problems for us, has been the cause of the curse. But there was the tree of life. Now that just may bring a whole lot of questions to us. Standing there in that garden with all of these other trees, all these other fruit trees, whatever other kind of trees may have been there, there's that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. But it would seem as though that when we look at the Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve were immortal, and then sin came into the world. I know there's been a lot of speculation, there's been a lot of discussion, people have talked about it, that what if Adam and Eve would have gotten to the tree of life after they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? We don't have answers to that. I know that people come up with some things, but apparently it didn't happen. But what we do find is that Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, and God protected or guarded the garden from human intrusion from that point on. The tree of life. The tree of life. If we go over to the book of Revelation, we'll find the tree of life recorded there as well. You can find it in Revelation chapter 2. And he's speaking about the tree of life here and different context. It's no longer in the Garden of Eden, but now we see that it's in a different place. Verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So there's the tree of life again recorded. If we go over a few more chapters to chapter 22, I believe it is. And here in chapter 22, we'll find it again. But let me begin with verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I'm sure that you've read that and you've seen that. The transplant that probably took place, taking the tree of life out of the Garden of Eden and transplanted it into the heavenly realm. Here it's saying one on each side, on either side of the river, river of life, is the tree of life. Wouldn't it be nice to have a part of that fruit, those 12 manner of fruit, and to see how the leaves affect the healing of the nations? We find that these two places are vastly different. It's a long distance. Maybe we could call it a gulf, that it separates the two. Because really that's what it is. But another tree that we find in Scripture really is the connecting link between the tree of life in the lost Garden of Eden and the tree of life in the paradise of God. Let's go back here, see if I can find my place. Go back into the Gospels, or not into the Gospels, but into the book of Acts, chapter number 5. And verse number 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. That's the record here in the book of Acts. A tree. We don't know what kind of a tree it was. Maybe you're familiar with the legend of, is it the dogwood tree? I believe that's the one it is. It's been a long time since I've read about it and refreshed my memory. But anyway, the tree that Jesus was hanged on. Then we find over also in another passage of Scripture, looking at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There he is again, hanged on a tree. So we think about these trees, we think about the tree of life and the separation that takes place because of sin, but the tree that Jesus was hanged on is the connecting link between the two, to bring the fruit of the tree of life into man's reach. I don't know about you tonight, but that's a powerful thought as we think about Christmas and what it means to us. That Jesus came so that he, knowing when he came, that he would be hanged on a tree to bridge the gap between what took place in the Garden of Eden, to bring the fruit of the tree of life back within our reach through his sacrifice. Praise God. You and I can be the recipients, but we don't. We're not forced to be. It's our choice. It's up to us to receive. It's up to us to receive. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. Praise God. Trust you have a good week. Wednesday night, regular service. Tomorrow night, caroling. Looking forward to what God has for us of another week. Next Sunday night is our regular annual Christmas service. So keep that in mind also. I guess I should say traditional Christmas service. It's a tradition here to have that. So keep that in mind. Amen. As we go tonight, let's go singing, okay?